Blog Talk Radio.
Home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen, coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
I still get goosebumps when I hear that intro. Big thanks to my producer, Brian Pothier, for putting that together for the start of the new year. Always appreciate that. But, you know, one of the things that I really like about the guests that I have on is that they tend to know really awesome people. And sometimes they get those really awesome people to call in and be part of their episode, and then they get to become guests tonight. That's what's happening today. So I want to send a big shout out to Annie Ulrich, who has been on the show many a time, and we've got her booked on a regular basis, at least through May at this point. We did that earlier today, and she comes on and talks about energy updates and, takes, callers, questions, and things like that, and she does a fantastic job. We always have a million people lined up out the door to talk to her whenever she's on. And on her last appearance a few weeks ago, Nancy Mills, who's our guest, and she's going to be talking about The Spirited Woman in just a minute, called in to lend her support for her friend. And I said, Nancy, you sound really fascinating. I'd love to have you on the show. So we've been chatting back and forth, and tonight is the magical night that Nancy's going to be with us, and I can't wait to have her on. But before we do that, some programming notes real quick. Just want to remind everybody, if you did not have a chance to catch the shows earlier this week, they are all available on demand. Monday, we had Stephen Davis. He's an artist out of the East Coast. Tuesday, we had Mary Lou Monroe Ray. She did a Rated G Radio Takeover from Brisbane, Australia, and interviewed David Laws, who's Australia's famous flower man. And yesterday we had Rebecca Fisk, an intuitive psychic on the show, who is A-plus awesome. She'll be back next month as well. And then tomorrow night we've got Christian music singer Mark Cave Jr. out of Arkansas. And we're going to be playing in hour one his album Living on Love, and then in hour two it's Listener Requests. And I just make that as a reminder to you because the Friday night show is also broadcast the following Friday, like a one-week delay, on Chat and Spin Radio Network and Westar Radio Network in the United Kingdom. So that's always really cool to see our guests that are on the show get some international exposure as well. But without further ado, let's bring Nancy Mills on the line. She is known as the Spirited Woman, and I am thrilled to have you on the show tonight, Nancy. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I've
lived in Hollywood my whole life. And to be on a Hollywood-based show, you know, we open to refrigerators in Hollywood. You know that.
I know. Isn't that crazy? But I'm always impressed with the people that are on the show, and then again, people that you know. So it was really just a huge treat when you called in to Dr. Annie's episode a couple of weeks ago, and I appreciate you doing that. So for everybody who didn't catch that episode, can you kind of do the? I grew up, in a small farm town and, rural wherever, and I walked uphill and downhill to snow both ways on the way to school. Can you kind of give us your background a little bit before we start talking about the Spirited Woman? Because I've got so much I want to ask you tonight.
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, one of the original five.
Yep.
Because everybody here moves from someplace else. And I basically had a stardust childhood. I mean, I would meet a new friend, and I would say, "Well, tell me about you." Well, my dad produced this, and my mother directed this, and we grow up in an environment here that really isn't very real. And as I grew up, I thought, there's got to be more than this, because I felt, even at a very, very young age, that I didn't want to be known for something that I did. I wanted to be known for who I was. And it was a very important lesson that I learned as a kid. It's not the car that you drive or the nose job that you have or the plastic surgeon that you go to. It's the inside. And I wasn't finding a lot of mirrors to that. And it wasn't that easy of a childhood for that reason. Because there were a lot of people out there who were mirroring things that I just didn't understand.
So was there like a defining moment or something that happened to you that you look back on and say, that was the day that I said, I've got to do something different?
Well, I'll tell you a story. I haven't shared this, and I can't tell you how long. I very rarely mention this. I went to Beverly Hills High School. So you can imagine what that was like. And this one had this kind of money, and this one had that kind of money. And one day, I get a telephone call from my friend. I was in the eighth grade, and she said, "My house is all locked up." And I said, "What?" She said, "My father left, and the government came and locked up the house."
Because
he didn't pay taxes, and we have nowhere to go. And I said to myself, here is this young girl who comes from what I thought was this incredibly wealthy family, and she didn't even have a bed to sleep in. And it,
wow.
And it, at a very young age, I learned that what you saw was not always what was. And if people were constantly trying to impress you with materialistic things and not let you in as to who they were, very often you would end up being disappointed. And I took that in as a very young girl, and I think it really defined my life. But I didn't know how I was going to go on with that theme, because when you grow up around that, so many people are thinking materialistically. And if you are not on that same page, but you want to make, you want to do something with your life, in my particular case, it took years and years and years of questioning and seeking and trying this and doing that and reinventing here. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why I started Spirited Woman, because I felt that it, there were millions of women out there like me. Of course, they didn't grow up where I grew up, but I think they had their own stories and wanted to come to terms with what it was that they were versus what they were told to be or how to act.
So did you, when, as you're going through your journey here and making these realizations, you said it was, you know, years and years in the making, what type of studies did you undertake that helped kind of enlighten you, or did you just run into some really creative souls that opened up your windows of perspective? What happened for you?
You know, it's interesting. I think my life is a series of connecting the dots. But I didn't know that the dots. I didn't know that the dots were being connected. I've always felt a very strong connection to the other side. I don't know how. I don't know why. But I felt it, and I felt at a very, you know, young age that I needed to listen. But I didn't know why, and I didn't know where it was taking me. So I ended up doing these things that ended up ultimately connecting the dots for me. You know, being a travel journalist, you know, out of the blue, I ended up becoming a travel journalist. It was a very, very unusual story how that happened and how I walked into that. Years before that, I was a public relations person, and I specialized in entrepreneurs. That, too, was a very strange story as to how I walked into that. Then there were times when, you know, I would take retreats, and I would think, how did I end up here? Then there was a year, then there was a year, honest to God, I got it in my head that I wanted to go and live on an Indian reservation for a while. And
Nancy!
out of the blue, honest to God, out of the blue, I ended up connecting with this woman who was part of a tribe in one of the four corners, and I ended up going there, and here I am, you know, listening to my intuition, totally trusting. I get there. She lived in a trailer, which is perfectly fine. I don't care if somebody lives in a trailer, but one whole room was filled with guns, and I can go on and on and on to that story, but I ended up having stories like that and not knowing why I was having stories like that until ultimately the piece de resistance, which most of the women in Spirited Woman know this story, it's just so bizarre, I had broken up with a boyfriend, and a neighbor heard me sobbing, and she knocked on my door, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm not. I'm really not. This is, like, not good." And she said, "What would make you happy?" And she didn't know that I was a former travel journalist. And I looked at her, and I said, a trip would make me happy. And she looked at me, and she said, "Okay, where would you like to go?" And I'm looking at her, and I'm, like, sobbing. And I said, "I want to go to Montana." Now, you have to understand, I knew nobody in Montana. I had never been to Montana. I had never done a story in Montana. And it would have been the same as me saying popsicle. I have no idea why I said Montana. So she, like a nice neighbor, leaves. She walks out the door, and 2 days later there's a knock. And I said, "Yeah, how are you doing?" She said, I'm doing better, I'm doing better." She says, "Well, my mother is going on a driving trip next week to Montana. And one of her friends has canceled. Would you like to go?"
Of course. And I
said, "Sure." So now she says to me, "But there's a little hitch." I said, "What's the hitch?" She says, "Well, my mother lives in Northern California. We live in Los Angeles. So you're going to have to drive up there to pick her up and get her and drive, you know, you'll go with the three women to Montana." So I go in this car, mine, with three women who I'd never met before in my life. We go to Montana. We end up staying at this woman's house. And she said, "Would you like to take a walk to the back of the property?" And I said, "Sure, I'd love to take a walk." So we walk to the back of the property. And I said, "What's going on here? There's this huge rock. And this rock looks exactly like a woman. It's in the shape of a woman. This rock
is a woman."
Oh, my gosh. And she said to me, "We call her Spirit Woman." And
oh, my gosh.
And I said, "That's what I'm doing for the rest of my life." She said, "Really?" I said, "Really." And these are the kinds of stories that I ended up having. And it turned out that this land was right next to an Indian burial ground, i.e. the reason why one year I felt called to live on an Indian reservation and almost got myself killed, you know, and all this kind of stuff. It's just been one of those kinds of lives. So I say to people, I'm clearly not nuts. I know that. I wouldn't have thousands of women following me, and I wouldn't have a successful business, and I wouldn't, you know, have the, you know, probably the sense of humor that I have. But, you know, what can I tell you? I have let certain doors open for me very easily. But on the other side of that coin, I have been very blocked, and I think that that is true for many women and for many people. And so when we go on these journeys, we go on them with one ear to the sky very often and one ear to the ground.
And so you have just struck me with such a profound story there, Nancy. I'm a little verklempt, if I could say that. So when did you create the Spirited Woman? Can I call it a company? Because I just have it up as the website here, but can I call it a company?
Well,
what is the movement here?
Well, it's pretty successful. I started it almost 15 years ago, and Spirited Woman is a leading woman's empowerment community, and there's different areas in the company that is revenue generating. We have a directory, which we've had for 4 years, and a top 12 pick list, and then we have the Sisterhood of the Sacred Scarves, which I will be talking about, and those are really the three revenue areas of the company. And in the past year or two, actually 2 years ago, I was able to start the Spirited Woman Foundation, where we give money to nonprofits that are in alignment with our mission. And that mission is to help heal and support women through actions of empowerment. So through the years, you know, there have been thousands of women that have come into the fold of Spirited Woman. Not all of them stay, of course, but you know, we're pretty well known in the women's empowerment movement.
And so when this is all created, and you started this as like a one-woman show, as I'm going to guess most businesses do, how long did it take before other people were just jumping on board like they couldn't, you know, wait to be part of the movement?
Well, you know, I don't know if it is a movement, but more than that, I think it's a support system. I think many of the women who've come on board to Spirited Woman, like any women's empowerment community, have come on board during a time where they needed it. You know, they might be going through a divorce. They might be changing businesses. They might be going through an illness. Their kids might be leaving the house. You know, sometimes we latch onto things at a time where we feel as though we need support outside of ourselves. And I've always tried to provide that through Spirited Woman, always. I don't know if I've succeeded. I've done the best that I possibly can. But that is one of the things that I think we are known for, which is offering a support system. Because I think the underlying principle of Spirited Woman, there's a couple underlying principles, but I started the business with the concept of you are enough as you are, because you are. And so many women, myself included, I would have never started the business with that concept unless I felt that way myself. And that is, you know, there were many days, many times where I woke up thinking, I'm just not enough. And there isn't going to be anybody out there who's going to validate me for being enough. You know, it really is an inside job, but it doesn't matter, because if you don't feel as though you're enough, it's very painful. So that was the original you know, that was the original premise, that you are enough as you are. And then as the years went on, it became expanded really into the concept of every woman visionary. You know, it's my belief that every woman is a visionary. That is extremely important. In other words, we all are bringing something to the table. We all have that light that lives within us that is helping others, whether it's through our lives, our work, our families, it doesn't matter. We all are visionaries in our own way. And I really wanted to salute that to women out there. So that has been a very important aspect of Spirited Woman. And so I guess you could say that there are thousands of women who are really devoted to our concept. And I think the other underlying principle, which I truly believe, is that people say to me, "Or what is a spirited woman?" And really the truth is that there's so many different characteristics. But really and truly, I think it goes beyond being a survivor. It goes into the next level, and that is unstoppable. You know, when somebody is a spirited woman, they believe they're unstoppable. And not in a way that will harm them, but in a way that will serve them. So I think that that's a very important principle.
Can I be a spirited woman?
Sure.
Honorary or something like that.
Absolutely.
I love your motto as well that's on the website. Can you tell the listeners what your motto is for the Spirited Woman?
Well, it's women inspiring women. And, you know, I think that is that what you're referring to?
Well, this is the one that says, I am number one on the self-inspiration charts.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I am number one on the self-inspiration charts. Everybody is. Yeah, that's
absolutely
true. You know, that's really true.
Okay, so here's my question, because what you say, your Kool-Aid, I love the flavor of, and I'm drinking right now. I love it. What was your draw to really focus on women versus just like men and women, or, you know, why did you pick just women? And I only ask because I love what you're talking about tonight. And it's like I wanted to be on the bandwagon here, but obviously I'm not in the right category, so.
You know, I can't answer that other than the fact it came easier to me.
Okay.
It really came easier to me. It was easier to me to work with women than it was to work with men. I didn't have an easy situation with my father, and I think really work with people as naturally as I can with women. I wouldn't have been able to do so with men. That's just how I feel personally. And also,
I love it. Yeah.
Also, I think that there have been male empowerment leaders that I have met. And just like with women, I feel that women relating to women, it's an easier road. And I think the same thing is true with men relating to men. When it comes to empowerment, when it comes to, that inner picture that you want to share with someone else and express yourself, it's you get very vulnerable. And I'm happy that I am working with other women.
I think the fact that you say, you get vulnerable and you feel more comfortable, I think that's exactly it. And, I think whoever you are, as you're out there listening tonight, you're going to have your certain groups that you identify better with than others. And I agree with you there. Okay, so you have a Spirited Woman directory. You'd mentioned that a little bit earlier tonight. You have a top 12 pick list that I think just came out recently, and I was thrilled to see some of the names on here from people that I've heard and read and seen in years past, and I thought their inclusion was awesome. How did you pick your top 12?
Well, I it's by invitation only, and I reach out to women who I feel are doing something that is just exceptional, but at the same token is not, advertised up the wazoo or publicized up the wazoo. There are so many. There are millions of women who are doing phenomenal things, and they don't have advertising budgets. They don't have PR budgets, and they aren't as well known as they could be. And so I started this pick list as a support system so that women around the world could get a lot of social media exposure and be known and get a logo that says they've made the Spirited Woman Top 12 pick list. I thought it was a way of saluting women and all their achievements. And so that logo, the Spirited Woman Top 12 pick list logo, is on hundreds of websites now and lots of newsletters and things like that, because when you're on the pick list, that's part of it. And so there have been over 800 women who've been on it. And they take the logo and they put it on their websites and everything. And so I'm not saying that we're a ladies' home journal stamp of approval. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
But we are better than Wonder Bread.
So, there we go. There we,
so yeah.
So how did you pick 12 versus 10 or 15 or 20?
It's interesting that you asked me that question. Spirited Woman, when it first started, was really a channeled property. I don't view myself as being a channeler, but when I left Montana, I literally was given a message. Spirits started writing through me in the morning. I know, it's just so interesting, because I don't come from that. And I had no frame of reference and nobody to say, oh, this is wonderful, And so these spirits started writing through me in the morning saying that, you are our mouthpiece to the women of the world. And they
wow.
were saying all these, they were saying all of these things, and they were saying that you had to have to write and da, da, da. Well, I did. And for about a year and a half, all this information kept coming through me. And what ended up happening was that there ended up being 12 archetypes through Spirited Woman. And then that 12 ended up being a very, very significant number. And I found out that 12 just represented the 12 different aspects of women, quite honestly. So I went with that for the pick list. So, I had that experience too. I mean, I never thought in a million years I would wake up in the morning and have automatic writing come through me ever. I mean, and I really listened to it, and hundreds, thousands of pages came through me. So
wow.
It was a fascinating experience. And, I had mentioned to you, or you saw a picture of me, well, actually you put it up on your blog site, wearing a scarf. And
yes.
I had a similar thing happen. so interesting. About 3 years ago, actually this month, this week, actually, God, it's just amazing, where I really felt that it was important for women to have a symbol of empowerment. It really was pressing on me. You've got to have a symbol of empowerment. And I had always been fascinated by scarves. And I later found out that in the Jewish faith, which I happen to be, scarves are extremely significant as far as the ancestral lineage of women. Very, very important. And I didn't know any of this. And I said, you know, I'm going to call it the Spirited Woman Prayer Scarf. And I had no idea why I thought I was going to call it the Spirited Woman Prayer Scarf, other than the fact that I felt it was so important to have this symbol of empowerment and beauty and grace and energy. And I thought, well, if I have this scarf, then what I'll do is we'll have a ceremony with the scarf. So I went out and I bought 48 scarves, the exact same scarf, two different colors. One was orangish and one was pink. And I said, I'm going to introduce this like a movie. I'm going to start it on a certain day and I'm going to end it on another day. And there's going to be a limited run. And at the end of it, they'll have a virtual ceremony over the phone where we're all wearing scarves and we can heal the women of the world. And eventually we can create from these scarves, a portion of each scarf will go to the Spirited Woman Foundation, which I hadn't created. It was only a dream to help heal and support women through actions of empowerment. So I went out and I bought 48 scarves. And to my utter delight, all 48 sold in 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And to make a long story short, it is now 3 years later, and there have been close to 550, actually about 600 women who purchased the scarves. We've sold 1,400 scarves. I have been able to establish a Spirited Woman Foundation from a portion of the proceeds of the scarves. That's how I met Annie. What happened was is that Annie read about the scarves on the internet. She read about them. Kat Williford, who also had purchased the scarf, talked about the scarf, or I had thanked Anne for purchasing one, and Annie was so fascinated by it, she contacted me, and I think Annie must have, I don't know, six of the scarves. We've gone on to have 13 different ones. We're introducing our 13th one in February, and each one of them has a name, just like a movie. So our last one was called Divine. The one before that was called Illumination. The one before that, or Joy. The one before that was Illumination. The one before that was Gratitude. We've had Peace. We've had Celebrate. We've had all these different names. And as it turns out, our number 13th scarf, and there is no accident, it turns out that for the first time in many, many years, there are two Friday the 13th during springtime. In February, there's a Friday the 13th, and in March, there's a Friday the 13th. So we're going to be introducing our latest scarf right around this time, and we're going to call it Lucky, because why not?
Oh, of course! Now, how much do the scarves go for?
They're always $48, always. I've really done my best not to raise the prices at all because I want to make them as affordable. And we are a perfect example of grassroots word of mouth. There has been no publicity. There's been no advertising. So I myself am in the same situation that the women, you know, who have been on our top 12 pick list have been on. I very much, my goal and my dream is to sell thousands. When you think about it, the scarf industry is a multi-billion, not million, multi-billion dollar industry. And there are so many women out there who would really enjoy knowing about us. What I have found more than anything, because we call ourselves the Sisterhood of the Sacred Scarves, is that every scarf we wear, we bless it, and we carry the energetic of it on our back. So, you know, if when we wear the scarves, we feel our sisters there with us. Many women have worn the scarves into hospitals, you know, for cancer treatments. You know, I could tell stories like you wouldn't believe, and it's just amazing, really, what we've been able to accomplish through the energy of these phenomenal scarves.
So, can you talk about some of the the causes that you've helped? It looks like you've helped around 6 or 7 different nonprofits with
exactly.
the spirit of, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I've written about 6. We've given to 7. I'm going to be writing about number 7 over the weekend. Actually, I've given money most recently to Sojourn, and Sojourn is a fabulous organization in Santa Monica that helps women of domestic violence. It's just phenomenal. And I gave money from the proceeds from our last scarf, Divine, to them for an emergency fund over the holidays, because when you're being abused, you do not think about running out the door with your glasses or your medicines or your shoe. All you care about is living. And so we've given money to them. The organization before that we gave to Joy in the Cause, started by a phenomenal woman out of Oklahoma, and she has a fabulous dog and who's in the mascot of her organization, and she constantly goes into the hospitals there and helps cancer patients, and she's just been phenomenal. She's just a phenomenal person. The organization before that, there is a fabulous organization out of Northern California, which helps women who are military veterans who have come back from service and suffer from traumatic stress syndrome. And so we gave money to that organization. So I helped a veteran go on a retreat. She didn't have the funds to go there, so gave to that organization. We've mentored several kids. We gave to another organization in Orange County. We've mentored a couple of kids for a year. I've given a fellowship to an organization for women out in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is an organization of creativity. We've helped another woman go to Africa and teach kids, young women's self-esteem. We've sponsored a self-empowerment tour for young kids across the country. So I've been busy.
You've been busy. So if people wanted to, let's just say, you know, let's say I know nobody that would like a scarf. I know lots of people, but let's just say I don't know anybody who wants to wear a scarf. How can people get involved or be part of your group or support it, even if they're men?
Oh, gosh, what a wonderful question, because so many, you know, I've had a few wonderful men email me saying that they want to gift their wife or their girlfriend a Spirited Woman prayer scarf, and several men have done that. Not a lot, maybe 10 out of all the scarves that have sold, but when
wow.
I get those emails, When I get those emails, I sort of weep because I think how lucky these women are to know these men, number one. And yes, there have been men who've given them as gifts to their – I've had men give them to their mothers, to their wives, to their kids, to their partners, you name it. And so basically the best way to reach me is through the Internet, which is the Spirited Woman. It's The Spirited Woman, but you can find it by putting in Spirited Woman. There's a the there, but Spirited Woman works. And you can go online and you can see that we have the scarves available. We only have 9 left of the Divine Scarf. That's it. We were very successful over this Christmas, and I've sold almost every single one. And then, as I said, we do it like a movie, so that will close out, and then we'll go on to our next one.
I think it's great because, you know, you create that urgency of, you know, it's for a limited time only. You got to get it while it's here. I need to let you know, we've got Mary Lou in Brisbane, Australia. She was just on the show the other night, but she has a comment on the Blog Talk chat room, and she says, just like the grandmothers with a sacred shawl and the sisterhood, as these scarves unite women together. So she loves what you're doing, and she's favoriting and liking all the right pages. For people who are listening tonight, just want to let you know we are going to have Lester Green on talking about his book, Getting Your Act Together, in just a little bit. But while we still have Nancy here, I want to make sure the listeners know, as you're listening to the program and seeing the little show page in front of you, there's some text there. We've made it really easy to go look at the Spirited Woman website. You can just click, and it will take you there. You can also like the Spirited Woman Facebook fan page and click that. And one of the things that I liked about your Facebook page is that, you know, so many fan pages are, they're wonderful in their own way. But, for example, the post you have on January 20th, it says, in your Spirited Woman minds, is there a difference between lady luck and feeling lucky? And you just encourage dialogue. You also have other posts on there, you know, what does the number 13 mean to you? You ask really fun questions and get people involved in just talking. Where do you divine, if I can use that word for one of your scarves, where do you divine your inspiration for coming up with your posts?
Well, you know, I have, you know, part of this journey, as I said, connecting the dots. Prior to being a travel journalist, I had my own public relations agency. This is going back several years ago, and I also wrote a column for the Hollywood Reporter. This is going back years ago, and was a fairly successful travel journalist with a lot of different publications. So my background just added up. I knew how to write sound bites. I also knew how to write a good lead. I also knew how to engage the reader. Otherwise, I would have never been hired again for any assignment. So I got very lucky in that the internet, for me, particularly Facebook, became a very, very easy tool for me because I don't have any hesitation to just sit down, think about something or feel something or express something and then just spit it out. I don't feel that way about Twitter. Twitter blocks me. I to think that I have to express myself in 60, you know, characters or less, or 60 words, or however what it is, I just don't even do it because it's not long enough. Whereas Facebook is, I can go on and just express myself. So I think, just like you said, anytime you have a community or anytime you want to involve other people with what it is that you're doing, the best thing you can do for them and for you is to get them engaged because no one wants to know just about you. They want to express to you what's going on in their lives. And I really make a point of doing that. And also that's one of the things that I wrestle with day in and day out. For years, I didn't want anybody to know that I was the leader of Spirited Woman. You know, I wanted
Why?
It to be a community. Well, because I wanted the women. You know, I wanted the women to be leading, to be feeling as though they were important. Of course, as time has gone on, that's really changed, and, you know, and that's different now. But it's still something that I wrestle with, but not as much, because if I didn't model the scarf, there would be no sisterhood.
Right.
Scarf.
Right.
Know, there would be no foundation, and there wouldn't be what is coming up as a very strong future for Spirited Woman.
A couple last questions for you here, Nancy. You talk about doing some Spirited Woman workshops. What's involved in a workshop? What can people expect if they come and hang out with you?
Well, I really haven't done one of those in a very long time. The company started with the workshop as being the basis of it, but I haven't done one in a very, very long time. We really don't do Spirited Woman workshops anymore. We've become more of a... Actually, my goal is to really be as foundation-driven as I possibly can be. So my goal really is to go from selling 500 scarves a year to selling 5,000 scarves a year so that we can give more and more and more funds to organizations that need it. I mean,
nice.
I I really feel very strongly about being a mission-driven company.
I love that. And the Spirited Woman directory, I've just opened it up earlier today, and I'm kind of leafing through it. That's kind of a fun read. How do people, how do women listening tonight or in the future, because this episode's always available on demand, how do they get involved in that?
Well, that is a once-a-year project, and we feature about 50 to 75 women, and we start accepting applications halfway through the year. But we had the most remarkable thing happen. There's an organization which is called, I think it's called Maxstar. I think that's the name of it. Anyway, it's huge. It's a huge Maxstar. It's a huge company. And they reached out to me yesterday, almost fell off my chair, and they asked if they could feature our directory. And I said, sure, that would be absolutely wonderful. So they are going to be featuring our directory through their digital magazine format. And what's so exciting is that they have 1.2 million followers on Facebook.
Wow.
And they have agreed to do publicity on us because they really love what the directory is all about. So it's really exciting because it's the first time that this directory will be on a fan page on Facebook that has over 1 million followers.
That rocks. Congratulations. That's really, really awesome. You are just so much fun. I had no idea how this was going to go tonight, and I'm so thrilled that you were here. Do you have any maybe last words of wisdom or inspiration that you'd like to share with the listeners before I let you go tonight?
Well, I just want everyone to just know that, life just keeps going. And everybody who feels as though they've got this major plan happening, my recommendation is to go with the flow. Not on everything, but let life, lead the way for you. And listen.
Excellent advice. Nancy Mills, she is the Spirited Woman, and she is an inspired woman here tonight on the show. Thank you very much for being here. Everybody, hang tight. We're going to be right back with Lester Green and talking about his book, Getting Your Act Together. Hang on.
No!
who doesn't like a little Aretha Franklin and Eurythmics? Of course, that sisters are doing it for themselves. But I've got a friend who is writing his own chapters in the world today, and his name is Lester Green. He's a former Friday Night Dance Party guest, actor extraordinaire, and now he's an author. He's got a hot, hot, hot new book out right now, quickly becoming a bestseller, called Getting Your Act Together. And Lester, welcome to the show.
Hey, Garrett, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Nice
you are such
you.
You are an inspiration to me. Let me tell you, for everybody who heard Lester on the show, it's been a hot minute. It's been ages, but you were on the show. Everybody loved your music. We talked about some of the things, but you are really turning into quite the accomplished actor. What have you been doing that we can share with the public? Because you've got a lot going on.
Oh, well, you know, first, got this book out called Getting Your Act Together. And right now I'm on a mission to try to get that book into as many people's hands as possible.
What's the book about?
I'm sorry. Well, the book is about acting and life. And a lot of times the two go hand in hand. A lot of times people separate the two, but they really go hand in hand. And I think the title's perfect, Getting Your Act Together. It's almost like, you know, when somebody, your mother tells you, you need to get your life together. You know,
mm-hmm.
You need to get your act together. Do you see the meaning behind both of those statements? They're similar. And so I thought it was the perfect title. So it's just about actors, beginning, intermediate, even advanced actors, just being very professional and marketing themselves in a very professional way. I think a lot of times, obviously talent is important, but I've gotten stuff based on just being very professional, being very reliable. It's not necessarily all about talent. Do you know what I mean? So
absolutely.
If people see that you're very professional and you have a great attitude and you're easy to work with, people are going to want to gravitate towards that. So the book is just about that and trying to build that energy, that positive energy, so that more people will want to work with you. So I definitely just hope that everybody gets that message.
Well, Lester, here's something I hate to break the news to you on. If nobody's told you this, you have a smile that lights up stadiums.
Oh.
you walk into a room and you have the star power that is just unbelievably overwhelming in the best possible way. So when people see you and meet they just go like, who is this person? I have to be around this person. So I totally am on board with everything you said, but you have a little bit of the star factor that goes with you, too. So,
yeah,
okay.
It helps to have a little talent.
A little talent, like, you know, your big left arm and left foot and left, you know, you are the total package. So, I need to ask you this. How come you didn't tell me you were writing a book? And if you did, I completely missed it in all the months that we've been communicating back and forth.
That blame has to go to... to my coach, Benny Randall, because I'm always itching to share everything that I'm doing.
Oh.
But he convinced me that it'd be better to just drop it on everybody out of nowhere because
Beyonce,
it will have a bigger impact.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so when I did it, and I finished it and everything, and it was a long, arduous process, but I got through it.
How long did it take you to write the book? When did you start this?
I'd say I started about 3-4 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. Started writing. Benny was encouraging me to write something every night. He said the best time to write is late at night, early morning.
Okay.
Preferably early morning because that's when you're fresh, your mind is clear, you haven't done anything. And so he told me to just write something every morning. And it took me a while to get used to that because I'm very disciplined, but when you're not used to writing every day, it's hard to get into that mode. But I found that as I was going along and doing it every day, it became easier. And so next thing you know, I had 10 pages, then 20 pages, and so forth. And then it just evolved into this book, Getting Your Act Together. So I'm really excited about it. I have a book signing on February 19th, and I think it's going to have a pretty good turnout. I'm expecting a lot of my friends to come out and just support the book. And I'm glad, once again, thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. I Everything about you, Lester, just makes me want. I wish I lived in New York City, because I would be. You'd be going like, no, I don't wish you lived in New York City. You'd never leave me alone. I would want to be hanging out with you like all the time, because you've always got something going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The energy is just right.
In your book, Getting Your Act Together, where can people purchase this? Is it available online yet, or just on a website? Or
well, as of right now, it's available at digitalbog.com. So it's digitalbog.com. They can get it there, and it's all tied to the book signing. So by going there and registering, they'll ensure themselves a seat at the book signing event.
Ooh.
So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get pre-orders in. So by going to that website, digitalbog.com, you can get your seat secured and you can get an autographed copy of the book. So that's the main thing. So after February 19th, then the book will be available on Amazon.
You are so smart.
Okay. I'm trying to build up the momentum.
So do me a favor, after the show tonight, or you know, sometime the next day or so, make sure to send me a link for where people can go sign up for their advanced seat and all of that kind of stuff, and I'll blast it on both the Radio G Radio page and my personal page and try to get everybody in New York going. That would be really awesome to have
definitely.
A full house.
I'll send you the link. I'll send you the link. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Oh, you betcha. So, because our time tonight's a little short, so, but you know, so
because
otherwise, you know, I would keep you here for like hours, and you would never get off the phone, and you're on the East Coast,
right?
So, can you give us like one, maybe one pivotal lesson that people don't give us everything because we've got to buy the book to get it, but like one pivotal lesson that you could share with the listeners that you think is especially valuable.
Well, I have a section in the book called My Favorite Quotes, and I wrote about, I don't know, 10 of them, and then the others are quotes from other people that I admire and respect. So I could just read a quote that I have, and it just deals with success. And so here it goes. I wrote, "Success is what drives me every day, and every day I wake up trying to be better than my yesterday. Today is a new day, so live life today like today was your last day." So in other words, you need to seize the moment while you're here, while you're alive, while you're breathing, and don't procrastinate. A lot of people say, I'll just do it tomorrow. I'll put it off till next week. You're not guaranteed next week. So seize the moment. Every day that I wake up, I try to make the most of that day. Even
you
if
do.
It's just one thing that I do, I try to do something positive, something meaningful. And by doing this book, by writing this book, it's going to outlive me. So I feel like I've accomplished a lot. You know what I mean? I always wanted to do something like this or do something similar where I could just leave something behind. And I think this book, Getting Your Act Together, is that thing. So I'm really proud of it. And I hope that people will actually enjoy the book. I know it's pretty simple. It's a short read, but there's so much.
Sometimes having a short read that's simple is more powerful than, you know, the Encyclopedia Britannica
true.
That loses people about three pages
true,
in, and you're
exactly.
like, I'm never doing this.
Right. Like
so everybody, it's,
novel, right?
You know, Lester's got this great book out, Getting Your Act Together. It's available. It will be available after the 19th of February on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold online. Lester's going to get us a link to where if you're in New York City on the 19th of February, you can reserve a seat, get an autographed copy of his book, and be one of the first people in history.
At digitalbot.com.
Digitalbot.com. So you'll need to sign up for that.
Yeah.
Real
quick,
can you tell us about any like really cool movies or TV shows that you're in right now? Or things?
Okay.
Can you spill the beans?
A big football. If anybody's into football, I just booked a Super Bowl commercial. So you probably see me on one of those commercials. And I have a screening for a film called Life is Too Short that's taking place at the end of this month, January 31st. And the last thing I don't want to forget, Kevin Baggett, we just wrapped for his feature film called Mad Full of Dreams, so look out for that movie, too. So I'm trying to do a little of everything. I got my hand in everything, Garrett.
Just like Nancy has her hand in everything for The Spirited Woman, you have your
that.
Hand in everything
yeah,
for acting. And
she,
isn't she an amazing
I
lady?
I love what she's doing. I love to see women band together. It's great. I believe in
I
that.
I do, too.
That's great.
You know, it's all about lifting each other up and supporting one another and making each other great. So I love Nancy
Absolutely.
Mills for joining us. And Lester, I love you for coming on the show tonight for your book, Getting Your Act Together.
Me,
and then
thanks
make sure to send me a link
it.
For the digital bot, and I'll go ahead and promote that.
Right now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, don't wait till tomorrow because we don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. And
exactly.
Then there we go. And everybody, tomorrow night is Mark Cave Jr. He's a Christian singer, and we're going to be playing his album Living on Love in Hour 1. And everybody, don't drive distracted. We'll see you live on Friday.
Been listening to Rated G Radio.